This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Second Light, Cypher Chat and BTC Map from Canada.
Kurt Vonnegut was an American writer known for his distinctive voice, satirical wit, and unique storytelling style. He was born on November 11th, 1922 in Indianapolis, Indiana. Vonnegut's work often blends science fiction, black comedy, and social commentary. He wrote 40 novels. Did you read all of them?
No.
CrossFit is a high-intensity fitness program that combines elements from various disciplines, including weightlifting, cardiovascular, exercise, and gymnastics. The history of CrossFit can be tracked back to the early 2000s. Did you know CrossFit was founded by a guy named Greg Glassman?
Yes.
Steak is a popular and flavorful cut of meat, typically taken from beef, though it can also refer to cuts from other animals like pork, lamb, and more. Did you know the world record for steak eating was set in 2014 by Furious Pete at 72 ounces per 2 kilograms?
No.
Drinking water that is safe for human consumption and is essential for maintaining good health. Generally, a common guideline is to drink about 8 glasses, around 2 liters of water per day. But individual, this may differ. Do you drink more than 8 glasses a day?
Yes.
Teaching yourself to code is better than learning it.
Yes.
The term lo-fi girl is often associated with a popular YouTube livestream and a video titled Lo-fi Hip Hop Radio Beats to Relax Study To. The video features an animated character studying at a desk while listening to lo-fi hip hop music. Does lo-fi make coding easier?
Yes.
Caddyshack is a classic American sports comedy film released in 1980. The film was directed by Harold Ramis and featured an ensemble cast of comedic talents like Bill Murray, Ted Knight, and others. The crew reported struggled to keep from laughing during Murray's scenes. Did you know Bill Murray's famous Cinderella story monologue was entirely improvised?
Yes.
Did you buy a physical good with Bitcoin last week?
No.
Hal Finney was a computer scientist, cryptographer, and one of the early pioneers in the development of Bitcoin. He graduated from the California Institute of Technology and worked at various technology companies, including PGP Corporation and Cypherpunks. Do you think he'd liked and used CypherChat if he was still alive?
Yes.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 95 of Connect the World. And this show is made possible by our friends BL3P. They're the European Bitcoin exchange located in the Netherlands. Thank you guys for helping us out with our mission. And of course, if you want also to help us out with our mission, then follow us on Twitter, subscribe at our YouTube channel. Or if you have any questions at all, you can always come to our Telegram group and ask us everything. And you can also make a donation there. It's always welcome.
Conecta el mundo.
Welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Second
Thank
Light.
You. Thanks for having me.
Good to
Thanks
have you on the show,
for being
man.
Here,
and
yeah.
And you didn't buy a physical good with Bitcoin last week. The creator of BTC Map. I mean, how is this possible, man? Can you explain?
Yeah. I went to El Salvador for adopting Bitcoin last year, and that was one of the few times where I got to actually spend Bitcoin in person. So that was really special. Where I live, there's not many merchants accepting it yet. So I guess I need to do more orange pilling.
Yeah, that's for sure, man. How come? I mean, we know Canada can be a bit harsh on Bitcoin, but how come that there aren't that many shops in the neighborhood?
Well, one, I live like in a smaller northern community, so less chance that way. But I don't know. The leader of the opposition in Canada right now is supposedly Bitcoin friendly. So maybe, you know, things will get better in the next election. We'll see.
So Canada might be the next El Salvador. That's maybe too extreme, right?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe Argentina.
yeah, let's hope for it. And you, well, you said you were in El Salvador last week spending sats. What was your first experience with the Lightning Network? Was it that, or was it before your visit to El Salvador?
I was in El Salvador last year for the conference. And that was my first time spending Bitcoin in real life. But my first experience with the Lightning Network was pretty much close to when I first discovered Bitcoin. And I bought a Mynode when it first came out. And I remember setting it up in my basement and plugging in the Ethernet cable and the power cable. And it just kind of felt like a magical moment, and watching the block sync and then coming online. And to this day, I think like whenever you spin up a new Bitcoin node and Lightning node, it's kind of a magical thing.
So I love it that you're telling this, because a lot of our listeners are, of course, Lightning node owners, Lightning node operators. And why did you choose for Mynode at that day? Was it the only one that you know of, or?
Yeah, they were one of the first ones. Okay. Raspi Blitz was around. Yeah. I don't believe Umbral was around. Start9 wasn't around. Yeah. And yeah, Taylor seemed like a good guy and a good developer. Yeah. So, and the software was good too. So
great to test out, of course. And you say that you never that you're still running the same node, right? And is it also the same hardware?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, everyone tells me stories of them blowing up Raspberry Pis and stuff, but I've been going for a couple of years now.
And amazing.
So.
And the same solid state disk from the first, that's amazing, right?
Same SD card, same Raspberry Pi, same everything.
Yeah, but it's the same with me, Edward.
Yeah, with me also. I don't know.
I started in the beginnings of 2021, was it? Or was it 2020? Edward? It was 2021, right?
21, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
And it never crashed. Also, my SD card is still in good shape. So
There was one time that I changed it, but I changed it back because there was a problem with LND, and I thought it was a problem with my node. So I installed it again. But I'm running also the same node with the same hardware. Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah, good stuff.
And
Matt, I when we asked you, teaching yourself to code is better than learning it, you were in a big doubt. I could see it on your face. And you decided to say, yes, it is better to teach yourself code. Why is that? It has to be something to do with your background story, right?
Yeah, well, it was just the way the question was worded, because even when you're teaching yourself to code, you're still learning it.
That's right. Yeah, I thought it. Yeah.
I get what you guys mean, because I taught myself to code. Didn't take the traditional route of, although it's getting less traditional, of going and taking a computer science degree at university. So I always just like to let people know, if they're interested in coding, even if you already have a career in a different field, you can totally, in your spare time, teach yourself to code. And if it turns out that you like it, you can make a career switch if you want to. So
Steph, you can learn how to code, right?
Well, I listened to the Lo-Fi Girl all midday, because
it helps, right?
Because Matt, and it really got me into the zone, right? But yeah, you know, I'm really no professional, or even below amateur, you could say. So I'm happy that I can just log in using SSH on my node to just verify some things, but that's it, you know.
But I love it that you say, well, it's possible to learn it yourself, and of course, well, you can learn from others also, but it's still possible when you're older and you just want to know a little bit about Python, or I don't know, there are a lot of people working on a lot of things that you can learn. I was thinking the Lo-Fi Girl, Steph, No Good also has a Lo-Fi radio channel, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, do you also know that Second Light? Matt?
If you share the link, yeah. I may have seen that before. I'll have to check it out again.
He's also with the Japanese characters, yeah. and all.
So he made also the graphics for our podcast and for a lot of other Lightning companies also. So yeah, also for Synonym, right, Steph?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He did some things.
The hardware Jade's wallet, I think. I don't know for sure, but. Yeah,
okay. We will send you the link.
Yes, send me the link
to listen. It's really great. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I'll show you guys quick. I got a plushie here.
Oh, Jade Wallet is Blockstream, cool. Of course. Oh,
that's her. That's her.
So she just hangs out with me while I'm working.
That also works.
Nice, man. Hey, Matt, if you are ready, we would really love to enter the 21 minutes, man, because we have all kinds of questions about CypherChat and BTC map, but it has to be in 21 minutes. So if you are ready, we are also ready, then we jump into the 21 minutes.
Yep, sounds good. Let's do it.
All
right.
Conecta el mundo.
Yeah, CypherChat. We mentioned the name, of course, but what is it and what's your role with co-building this app?
Yeah, so CypherChat's an encrypted messaging app, and it uses Bitcoin Lightning nodes. And it's actually just me that I built it myself. I did it because I wanted to contribute to open source some more, and just as a way to learn more about how Lightning nodes work under the hood.
And is it open source or
So
others can also help out if they want.
It's open source, and yeah, anyone can contribute to the code, and they can also run the code themselves and self-host it.
Awesome.
Cool. And for users new to the Lightning Network, what are the key steps to connect a node to CypherChat? Because I assume that that's also possible.
Yeah, so right now, CypherChat uses a technology called Lightning Node Connect, which was developed by Lightning Labs.
Yeah.
And so currently you need an LND node to use CypherChat, and you need software called Lightning Terminal, which usually comes bundled with a lot of these plug-and-play node solutions like Umbral. And once you have that up and running, you just need to copy a pairing phrase from Lightning Terminal, and you can set custom permissions on that. And then you paste it into whatever Lightning app uses LNC. In this case, it's CypherChat. And then it'll create a connection to your node from anywhere in the world. It'll be secure and encrypted. And you don't need to worry about opening up ports if your node is on your home network or anything like that. So it's fairly straightforward.
Cool. And is it also possible to send funds, or is it just text messaging?
No, it's possible to send payments because... the messages are essentially just payments. Each message is one sat, and you can attach custom records to it. And we use something called KeySend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a regular Lightning payment. So you can send sats and you can send messages.
And if you look at the Lightning space, there are a lot of projects. Of course, you have Voltage with a node in the cloud, but also Zeus and with a Lightning service provider, you can have your node running on your mobile phone. Is it also possible to use KeySend or CypherChat with other node solutions other than running another implementation?
Currently you need Lightning Node Connect, so it does work with a cloud node like Voltage. And they actually hide the Lightning Terminal aspect from the user, and you can copy your pairing phrase right in the Voltage UI.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as mobile nodes go, currently CypherChat, you wouldn't be able to connect to a mobile node because it needs to be running, you know, like a full node running all the time that you can connect remotely to.
Yeah. It needs to be a full node. Yeah.
And what are the security considerations users should keep in mind while creating a pairing phrase through Lightning Terminal?
So you want to take the same security considerations as whenever you're dealing with sensitive information about your node. So you just don't want to share that pairing phrase with anyone. The nice thing is that it'll actually expire if it's not used after 10 minutes. And it can also only be used once. Okay. So once you connect, then it's can't be used again. And it can also be revoked at any time as well. So you can remotely remove access.
Yeah, so for people who want to try it, it's generated and the security code is keys are just able to use once and you're it's not needed to write it down or something. Yeah, it's just to have the connection running.
Yeah, it's just a single one-time pairing phrase.
Yeah.
And you don't need to store it anywhere. Yeah. And you can set custom permissions on it too. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good tip. And how does end-to-end encryption in CipherChat ensure privacy and security of messages? Well, of course, thanks to the pairing key, I think.
Yeah. So the LNC connection is fully encrypted. And then, like I was saying earlier, the messages are just Lightning payments.
Yeah.
So these custom records that are attached to the payment, they're not required for any routing information. So if the payment is routed by any nodes along the way, they can't read the custom messages, the custom records containing messages, and it can only be decrypted by the intended recipient if the payment's successful and reaches their node.
Yeah.
Cool. And can you explain, because we talk a lot about LNC already, can you explain how the Lightning Node Connect, that's what LNC stands for, works with CipherChat? So especially the role of the LNC mailbox relay proxy server in facilitating communication, because I saw you can choose another mailbox relay yourself, but how does it really work?
Yeah, so Lightning Node Connect, it's solving the issue of being able to connect your node that's running at home behind a private network, say, and connecting to an app from anywhere in the world. And the way they do this is they have this LNC mailbox server, which is a proxy relay. And currently the main one that's running is run by Lightning Labs. But it's all open source, so you could run your own LNC mailbox and eliminate any third parties. So in CipherChat, you have the option to enter any LNC mailbox, but it uses Lightning Labs instance as the default one.
Awesome. And it could be possible to run the mailbox proxy relay as an app on your own node also?
Yeah.
You would
probably want to run it on a public server. Mm-hmm. So that you could connect anywhere,
Of course.
Even outside your home network, which would be nice.
Yeah, so it's always accessible. When you're not not at home. What browser features are essential for the optimal functioning of CipherChat, and how do you ensure a seamless experience when installing and updating the web app?
Yeah, so this is getting a little technical. Like most people probably don't care, but CipherChat uses some modern browser web technologies called WebAssembly, IndexedDB, and local storage, and as well. Oh, I'm just looking at my notes here because
IndexedDB, right?
I should know this off the top of my head.
Yeah, because it's a progressive web app.
Oh, sorry, service workers. Just blanked on that. But again, it's fairly irrelevant. Yeah. Most of these features are enabled by default.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, then you'll just get a little message in CipherChat saying, please enable these features, which usually they're disabled because you have like a private browsing window open or something like that.
Yeah, so you're getting the message and you can just... allow it and then it works. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And what methods can users employ to discover public nodes for chatting on the Lightning networks?
So there's lots of Lightning network explorers. I'm sure your listeners are familiar. There's amboss.space and mempool.space, and either of those websites you can check out and discover Lightning nodes. Mempool has other features other than just Lightning. They have a mining explorer and on-chain explorer. Yeah. Amboss is specifically focused on Lightning, but any node you find on there, you can chat with on CipherChat. So
that's great, right? So also anonymously, right? Like you just see a no donor that you have a channel with, but you don't know him or her personal, you can chat with him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The only information you need to chat with another node is their pub key.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
this solves a lot of problems within, because we have the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire community, yeah. And they're all people with tons of channels to other people. But somehow there's a problem with their node, and they want to connect to the people that are managing the other nodes, and they're asking in the group, in the Telegram group, chat. Who is this node? Who is that node? Who is this node? Who is that node? So now they can just use HiveChat and just send a message to that node using the pub key. So that this really solves a problem for our community.
It also brings me to another question, like, for example, spam protection. How does it work, and particularly the role of proof of work and message signing? Because otherwise you can just spam message everyone.
Yeah, so there is a little bit of proof of work required to set up a Lightning node, and you need some Satoshis to do that. Mm-hmm. And then each payment also costs some Satoshis. So in that way, there's a little bit of built-in spam protection. But we have seen recently with things like Satogram, people are actually willing to pay to spam out messages.
Yeah.
So in this scenario, in CypherChat, you can hide those messages. And as far as the message signing goes, when you send a message, it is signed and there's other metadata sent along with it so that the receiver can verify the information.
Yeah.
And so if that's not included, then the message will just show up as anonymous and you can choose to hide those messages.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and let's wrap up this subject because we really want to talk about BTC Map too. But final question, are there also plans to make CyberChat compatible with Core Lightning or other Lightning messages apps in the future, or maybe with Nostr even better?
I would love to be totally compatible with all the different Lightning implementations. It's right now it's a little fragmented as far as developer tools go. Like Lightning Node Connect is pretty much just LND, and Core Lightning, I think, has considered adding support for that, but then I think they're also working on their own technology. So ideally it would be great if, you know, all the Lightning implementations could work together for build technologies that web developers and other developers can use to connect to these nodes and build applications out, but do it in an interoperable way that's not implementation specific.
Yeah. And then the only thing you need is the pub key. Well, let's head over to btcmap.org because we mentioned you a lot of times in our podcast. Can you explain first, what is it? And why must everybody use this site?
Yeah, BTC Map, it's an application, mobile and web applications that make it easy to find places to spend sats wherever you are on the planet. So whether you're traveling or you're at home, you can open up the map and find merchants that accept Bitcoin. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's even cooler because it's also open source, right? So everyone can contribute.
Indeed.
So if you are living, for instance, I put a couple of places here in my neighborhood that I put them on BTC Map because they weren't in it. And every time when I travel to Spain last time, and I'm always checking the place I go. Is there something good? And I must say, Spain sucks. Pardon my French if it goes for spending your sets, because there's so a few shops over there. But it's really nice to just see and look up places, but also contribute and put your own place up or the place in your neighborhood. And I think this is really important if you're talking about adoption and keeping everybody orange peeled, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Is it's open source and open data, and so anyone can contribute to adding, updating, deleting locations if they're out of date. And that's really what it relies on, is the broader Bitcoin community across the globe. You take action in making sure that your local area is up to date and maintained, and those merchants are able to be discovered by being on the map.
Yeah. And well, talking about this open source nature of BTC map and maintaining, how do you, what are the challenges that you face in maintaining the accuracy and reliability of the location data? I mean, you're not the the one who is visiting all the places to see if they're still open and accepting Bitcoin, right? How does this go?
Yeah. So it's the same idea as Bitcoin itself, is we really need to decentralize. And like I was saying, the local communities need to maintain their map areas. And we do some things to try and make it a little fun, gamify it a bit. We have tagger profiles and leaderboards and community areas that you can track your progress as far as how many locations you have in your area, if they're up to date, things like that. So it's really just a community effort. And if you find a location that's missing or the information is incorrect, it's really up to you to make the change.
So merchants himself or herself just goes to the website and put his own store on the map, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It works. We use OpenStreetMap as our database. They've been around forever as far as being in the leading open source open data mapping project, and anyone can edit the data. It's sort of like the Wikipedia for maps, and merchants can do it. And if that's a little too technical, although it is fairly straightforward, there is a add location option on the BTC map website, and one of the shadowy super tagger volunteers will pick up the ticket.
Also,
verify the information and then add the location themselves.
So that makes it even more easy. Yeah. So you can just hit them up. And how does it work with the integration of payment options for merchants or like the Lightning Network, for example, that are listed in the listing of a merchant? Is it checked or how does that work?
Yeah, so all the information that gets displayed is done through adding tags on OpenStreetMap. And so we worked with the OpenStreetMap guys and girls, and we created some Lightning Network specific tags. So the two ones are Payment Lightning and then Lightning Contactless if the merchant supports NFC Lightning. And then there's also the older tag of On-Chain, which, let's be honest, not many merchants are using On-Chain. So the main ones is the Payment Lightning tag, and you add that at the same time as you add the merchant, and then it'll just show a little icon showing that merchant accepts Lightning payments.
Yeah.
And what opportunities does the BTC Map API offer to developers to looking to integrate Bitcoin mapping data into their own applications?
Yeah, so we have a full API with pretty good documentation that offers developers to integrate Bitcoin mapping data with their own apps. And we have seen some applications already use that. And it's really nice because we sort of do a lot of the heavy lifting of taking all the OpenStreetMap data, filtering out the Bitcoin locations, and then serving it up in a nice, relevant way. It's a lot easier than trying to hit the OpenStreetMap API yourself. So we found that for our own apps that we build, it's a great tool. And then for other developers as well, they can totally use our API and everything's open source. So
yeah, can you name some of the bigger applications that use your API?
One really cool one that I think you had on the show recently, Satimoto.
Right. Satimoto. Cool. Nice.
That was pretty cool to see that. And then there's some others. There's also some apps that instead of using the API, they'll just actually embed the web app right into their application. And so I believe Fedi has done that. Even Wallet of Satoshi has BTC map embedded in there. There's a few different ways to integrate.
Yeah. And what incentives or benefits? We know them, of course. We just talked about it. But does the BTC map offer to merchants to encourage participation and acceptance of Bitcoin?
I think just discoverability. So once you start accepting Bitcoin and get listed on BTC map and OpenStreetMap, you're gonna have all the crazy Bitcoiners traveling from all over the world. And if they find your location, they're bound to stop in. So you'll probably see some increased revenue. And then, of course, you'll get all the other benefits that come along with adopting Bitcoin on a personal level. So,
and it's word of mouth also that people say, well, go to BTC Map. At gamification, I like that because then maybe cities can say, well, we want to be the city with the most attacked merchants on the map.
And I think Arnhem is high on the list, man.
Of course.
From Patrick van der Meijden.
Yeah, in the Netherlands. Yeah.
They're really high on the list.
Arnhem.
Exactly. Gotta compete.
Yeah.
And how do you envision BTC Map evolving to support the growing adoption of Bitcoin and Lightning Network in retail and commerce? Do you think that there are retailers who aren't accepting Bitcoin yet, but will accept because of BTC Map maybe?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it definitely solves the discoverability problem because Bitcoin's still fairly niche. So if you start accepting Bitcoin, but nobody knows about it, then it's probably not going to do much. BTC Map is a way for you to get discovered, not just by your local community, but the global community. So I think, having a map like this would incentivize merchants to accept Bitcoin on top of the other reasons to do so.
And well, let's ask you one more question because I'm curious about that. What future developments or features are you currently working on or planning for BTC Map? I think on a long run.
Yeah, currently working on just performance optimizations and making sure we have a solid foundation built out for, you know, the continued traffic that we're anticipating in the next year and the next bull run and the next cycle and that sort of thing. New features, I guess, stay tuned. There's a BTC Map Twitter account and Nostra account you can follow. But lots of things planned and follow those channels for updates.
Yeah. Thanks again. We had a lot more questions, but we are curious in the future how this will evolve even further. And I hope to see a future with a lot of merchants on BTC Map in a lot of countries that we visit or everybody could visit. So thanks again. Go to the next section.
Conectado Lumia.
Yes, because we have one question left for you, Matt. And the funny thing is, you may choose one yourself. So we have a question asked from Brandon Green. He's working for BTC Inc. René Aron, he's working for LB and Lightstats. And Hendrik Skogstrom, and he's working for Torque, former Allen Capital. Which one will it be?
Yeah. let's go with René.
Okay, I'm going to search him. Yeah, here he comes.
Hello, my name is René Aron, and my question for you is, what problems did you experience when setting up your own node, and what do you think could be improved for this process?
It's still running, so no problems at all.
No, but honestly, this was several years ago, and it's got even better since then, but even back then, these plug and play solutions are key, I think, now there's, you know, embedded mobile nodes and things like that. But to run a full node, the plug and play solutions really make it easy. And there honestly wasn't that many issues. I'd say the biggest one is probably getting inbound liquidity. Things like, the Magma marketplace on Amboss and mm-hmm. other solutions. You can even get inbound liquidity fairly quickly now. So I'd say, we're doing pretty good. Always work to be done, though.
Yeah. And also the onboarding process is easier now than back at the day first.
It definitely is, yes.
Thanks again. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the answer, man.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, René.
Conecta el mundo.
We will say hi to René. Yeah. Well, we can give a prize away.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, but nice to give a prize away always. Yeah, we can give away BTC map stickers sent by you, Matt. How can people win? What do they need to do to make a chance to win?
Yeah, I thought, I have some BTC map stickers that you can stick around your area and try and orange pill some people. And the first person to send the message "Connect the World" to my node on using CipherChat, I'll send you some stickers. So I thought that was a nice, fun, easy way to do a little prize. So.
Ah, that's nice. So everybody needs to be geeky enough to try this out.
We will obviously going to put your pub key notes and in the announcement of this episode because if you have to
look
spell it for us, it's way too much.
02, no.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Connetti il mondo.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. It was really nice talking to you. And a big thank you for creating BTC Map. I think it's the best solution for onboarding merchants or finding merchants when you're not in your hometown. So thanks for that. And also the good stuff on CipherChat, obviously. Where can people follow you, man?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And with BTC Map, there are lots of other people working on it too. So I didn't create it by myself. Just wanted to say that there's backend and all kinds of things happening. So I mainly work on the front end of the btcmap.org website. You can follow me on Second Light, is my NIM online. Second and then Light with the number one instead of an I. And that's on Twitter and GitHub. And I have a personal website called secondlight.site. And that's probably the main place if you want to see like an overview of what I'm up to and working on. So.
Awesome. Great.
Cool. Thanks, man.
Thanks again. And thanks for everybody else for listening and to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us. So if you like our content and please support us in our mission, visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our favorite content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And use CipherChat, of course, to chat. And see you all next week on this same Lightning channel. Dovidenia, Matt.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. See you later.